Those last few hours at work can drag on.
Hurry up!
Lucky for you, those afternoon blues are over. Phil Bonatti is taking you home. Time flies when we are having fun. So it's time to get behind the bench.
That's right. Behind the Bench brought to you by Helena Agri here on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone. Thanksgiving week as we get set for the holiday weekend. And we're live here at Major Wager. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Major Wager pregame show for Monday Night Football on this November 25th evening between the Baltimore Ravens and the Los Angeles Chargers, the one billed as the Harbaugh Bowl. But let's be honest, this is a really good matchup in the AFC tonight. So very excited to have Major Wager here once again, back at it for another afternoon, evening here in the middle of Fresno down here. And hopefully you can come down, hang out, have some fun, make some bets, and see if you can take home a winner. Win a prize here, too. We got some good ones on the docket tonight, as we always do every week, so be sure to listen there. And if you're listening wherever you are listening, thank you for listening however you are listening on the 1430 ESPN app. Be sure to download that today. If you're listening and you're like, how do I take this show on the go? Like, how do I listen to any of this content, this great Central Valley content? You can download that on your phone wherever you find app stores, and then you can listen to us from there throughout the throughout all time. We've got shows all over as we roll along. Let's talk about what we got going on today. Of course, it's a great show as always. Just a fantastic one with 2 hours jam-packed in, all kinds of reaction here to this Monday, all kinds of things to talk about. Of course, we'll be reacting to it, to talk about the weekend, of course, my weekend. I'll get to that momentarily, a wild one, say at least a few funny stories I got from the weekend from my perspective when it comes to sports. Of course, you also got reaction to, hey, the Dogs bowl eligible, 6-5, ready to roll. We'll see where they potentially can go. Of course, they got to take a trip down to L.A. and take on the Bruins one more time before we find out where they're going to be playing in December. But the Bulldogs are bowl eligible. And I think that's – we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later in the show. But I think a lot of people feeling relief that we got that sixth win. A lot of people in-house and a lot of people around the program certainly feeling that way. We'll dive into the men's basketball crazy win on Saturday, too. If you have not seen what happened with the men's basketball team against Long Beach State, boy, do you have a story for you there. We'll talk about who's been naughty, who's been nice, react to the NFL weekend, of course, get you all set up for tonight, and dive into all of that. So a lot to get to. We'll talk high school as well. I'll try to touch on some of the high school here at the top. A lot of Central Section championships played and to be played, and we got another one coming on Friday on our Friday Night Lights. Very excited to be bringing that to you. We'll talk about that matchup coming up later as well. So good show today. It's 2 hours. Come hang out. Come be here early because the tables are they fill up pretty fast here at a Major Wager. They make sure it gets packed in here, and I anticipate some Charger fans potentially here. I anticipate a good game, so that's going on there. Before I get into anything, of course, on this weekend, we have to ask my question that has been on my mind throughout all of the weekend here, of course, on this Monday afternoon. My producer, Jorge, who is back in the studio for another show. And, Jorge, as I say, how was your weekend?
Good afternoon, Phil. My weekend was pretty good. Pretty good. I watched sports like always. I did some house cleaning that we needed to before, you know, before all this Christmas stuff gets going. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting prepped for Thanksgiving, of course. On Thursday.
I tried to do some yard work, but the rain kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, messed that up, but.
For sure.
Other than that, it was quite a weekend.
Quite a weekend, to say the least. The rain was doing, I would say we had the bomb cyclone atmospheric river as they were declaring we would have this weekend. I know rain is still somewhere around the corner here when it comes to that. Probably later tonight as we leave Major Wager here, we might need an umbrella as soon as we get out here. But should be, you know, it was not as wet as I thought for this weekend. Of course, I got out to the Fresno State game. It started drizzling just a little bit at the tail end of that. Of course, Sunday I got an opportunity to I went over to my folks' house. They live on Christmas Tree Lane, so I got a chance to go help them decorate a little bit. And of course, I was helping my dad wrap some lights around a tree. And I'm holding the ladder and making sure he's not going to fall or anything like that. And then all of a sudden I start feeling something on my feet, like some like stinging sensation on my feet. And I'm like, what is going on? And I look down and my shoes are absolutely covered with fire ants from my parents' front yard. So we had to shut down the Christmas decorating operation for that day. And hopefully that situation's getting alleviated out in the front yard. But being attacked by fire ants yesterday was not the most ideal situation, to say the least, when it came to decorating for Christmas. But I'm okay. All right. I'm fine. I'm cool. But I'll tell you, fire ants, not. I don't mess with those. I don't mess with fire ants, Jorge.
Yeah, me either. I don't. I tend to have like a skin rash if I get, you know, poked by one of those things. And
I don't know.
Or bitten by one of them.
Yeah, they bite. That's all they do. They just bite you.
Yeah, I don't mess with them.
Well, I was like, why is my ankle hurting? So, like, I got a couple, like, and then just look, and it's just my shoes. I wasn't even wearing the best shoes I could possibly wear. They were a little slip-on shoes, and, yeah, they were getting at them. So I was not having the best time on Sunday afternoon. But then Sunday night, I went to a Friendsgiving, a little friends gathering, as we do sometimes as a friend group. And I'll tell the funny sports story here, of course, coming in. A lot of our friends were all in a fantasy league together, of course, and a lot of us playing each other. And when I was over there, we were watching the Rams-Eagles game. One of my friends was up 42 points going into this game. And you feel pretty good, Jorge, up 42 points with only one player on the opposing team going up against you, right? But that opposing player for the other guy was Saquon Barkley. And we're sitting there. I'm sitting there talking to the guy who's in the lead. He's up by like 10 or whatever, or he's up by like 6. And I turn and I look at the TV in garbage time, and I see Saquon Barkley absolutely just blow up that Rams defense for a 70-yarder, the second big long touchdown run of the game for Saquon Barkley. And I just hear cackling from the other room by the guy who had Saquon Barkley take the lead and win the game. And I couldn't believe it. I think he had to go take like a little like mental break outside for a second just to cool down, because that's one of the worst, more devastating fantasy losses I'd seen in person in a long time. So that was my experience last night, all in all, from that last night's game. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But, Jorge, that's got to be so devastating, right?
Yeah, I had a little bit of experience like that when I had Jared Goff a couple weeks ago when he like went for like 300, you know, 300
yards.
Oh,
yeah. Goff had a crazy game a couple weeks ago.
He got me 60 points, and I was like, you are the man. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I was losing that one. I was like, I already gave up. I was like, yeah, this is singing that. Even if you would have got me like 20, yeah, I would have still lost. 20, 25, I would have still lost. And then he went off for 60. I'm like, you're the best.
I think it's like the reverse Jamar Chase, because when I had Jamar Chase a couple weeks ago and then he went for 50 on the start of Thursday night, and everyone's like, okay, well, there's not much we can do there from that experience. So, but yeah, it's certainly a situation where I felt bad, and I just kind of stoked the fire a little bit and really, you know, talked, you know, the you know what, the ish, as people would say, just to rub it in a little bit, because I always like antagonizing people in fantasy football. That's the whole point of it, right, Jorge? The whole point is just poke some fun.
Yeah. poke fun at the guys that are losing. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. So, anyways, that was some of my weekend, of course, and had a lot of fun paying attention to that. You know what was fun paying attention to, of course, was Friday. You were, of course, on the producing on the studio side, our Friday Night Lights. Had a lot of great feedback from our broadcast on Friday for the Central and the Clovis East game. And a lot of people reacting to that one, of course. And I think a lot of people saying they were seeing it coming a little bit. I feel bad because I think of the East side a little bit, and that's a program that had been looking for that moment for a while. And so for a lot of people to kind of go out and say, well, I kind of said Central could have gotten that game. I'm like, yeah, you know. But I had to respect it a little bit with how good East was all season. And, of course, I didn't want to make a pick in that game because we were calling it. I didn't want to sound like I had a vested interest in any side. But felt it was a very interesting reaction to Friday's game. But all in all, I think – when you get to that game, you already have a very successful season. I don't think there's anything for those kids to be disappointed in. East, they're gonna remember that season for a long time. When they traveled to Utah to go win, and they kicked a field goal to go win it, and then they just kind of dominated all that season. I feel like when you stay away from the sting of that Central Section Championship a little bit, I think kids are going to realize how special of a group that was. They are track champions, so at least you have a trophy in that aspect. And to me, I feel like that East side, I know it's disappointing in the moment, but I think looking back on it a little bit, they're going to understand how you know, how I think that Central team is going to be phenomenal moving forward. But I think that East team's got to – I think those kids are going to realize how special of a season was already. And I just wanted to point that out because I don't want people thinking they're – you know, I don't want them in the dumps disappointed because the undefeated season is over. I think it was a really good journey. I don't know. What say you, Jorge?
Give me a second. I'm just
okay.
I was working on something, real quick.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
You're good.
All right, we're back. Right. What was the question?
I'll just go. No, you're good. I was just looking at it's Feedback Monday, so we're just kind of throwing some stuff out, you know, with the Clovis East side. You know, those kids just don't have to be disappointed with how things went on Friday night. I was just kind of pointing it out. I think they had a special season regardless, and I know East hasn't been their spot in a while, so I just wanted to point that out for them as far as not being disappointed, even though that Central Section Championship didn't go the way they wanted.
No, those kids worked really hard all year, and we followed them, you know, with more than a couple games here on the station, and quite frankly, they were playing lights out every game, and to lose one like that is heartbreaking, but at the same time, you know, it's not that it's for nothing. They had a great time, and they made great memories, and I think that's the value of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'll go into some other results. We'll talk about it. I'll just give a little Monday recap from around the high school side, and then we'll take a break and come back with some Fresno State. We'll take some calls as well. I think it's important to do so. Friday, we had Emmanuel Volleyball, by the way. They got the championship, state championship, D5 in volleyball. Congrats to them. I know Paul was making that announcement on our broadcast on Friday. And then on Saturday, I don't know if he got the chance to make this announcement, but we want to shout it out on D3 side. Congratulations to the Central Valley Christian Cavaliers in their state title. They ended up beating Monte Vista. They were from the south, Monte Vista from the north. And Central Valley Christian, a state champ as well in the D3 side of things. So congrats to them. 3-0 sweep. I'm looking at where Central Valley Christian went. 3-1, 3-1, 3-0, 3-0. They never faced elimination, and they never faced a deciding set against them. So what a great run for the Cavaliers as well. So I wanted to give that shout-out there to them on the volleyball side of things. As for the football, last week was very interesting, of course, with all the results. We were following them along. Central and Clovis East, of course, was a fascinating game. I think Central was just – their athleticism – It's going to be something to behold for a few years here because they got a lot of kids coming back. What, something like 19 starters, I think I heard something about that as a number, coming back for them. And now they've got a couple weeks to rest up before they see what's going to go on as far as who they match up in a state playoff game. From what I heard from Paul's side of things, they're going to host, which is going to be really, really fun for that group. You never know what happens on your home floor, home field, all that stuff. So very curious to see how that all will play out. Other Central Section Championships, of course, congratulations to Frontier for beating Bakersfield. Congrats to Mammoth for beating Fresno Christian. Then taking a look at some of the semifinal matchups, we now have our slate set for this Friday, Black Friday, Playoff Friday, 5 Central Section Championships. Here we go. Here's the rundown of them. From D2 to D6, you've got Central Valley Christian and Bakersfield Christian. That'll be a really good one. I anticipate that one to maybe be, I think, a lower scoring one. It always kind of is. That one in Bakersfield for that. In D3, hey, guess what? We got another edition of Friday Night Lights. We are going to do another game. So that'll be Kerman and Madera. That'll be going on over in Madera. Madtown, what up? Can't wait to see you guys over there on Friday for Kerman and Madera. That blue versus red should be a really good Central Section Championship for the Yotes and the Lions. On at the D4 side of things, that's Kalinga and Shafter. That's going to be in Shafter. Kalinga undefeated. And I'm telling you, they've been looking better and better each week from what I've seen. So they got Shafter, the top seed. Kalinga's going to be a very interesting matchup. I'm very curious to see how that one will play out. D5, how about the Selma Bears? They're going to go out to Morro Bay and take on Morro Bay and their team. And it's a fascinating matchup again. A little bit of travel, trek for Selma, but that should be a fun atmosphere, fun experience for them. And then finally, in the D6 side of things, Miramonte, who got the major upset over Minarets, they get to travel again. They get to go to Lindsay. Lindsay with their massive win over Corcoran. And so Lindsay hosts a Central Section Championship. How about that for the Cardinals out there? Those are your 5 Central Section Championship games. Of course, we've had some really good ones in the past. This is kind of typically with the old playoffs where we would kind of do some of the top teams, right? I think that was when North and Central played last year at this time. Don't have that anymore, so we get to highlight some of the smaller divisions, some of the lower divisions, and I think that's important. I think that's important to have that highlighted moving forward. So very excited to be broadcasting that with Paul Metters. Kerman and Madera, two great coaches, David Jenkins and Coach Pellinelli out there as well. So 6:45 on Friday, we'll have the pregame, and we'll have a kickoff at 7 p.m., and we'll bring it to you right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, so there you go. That's the rundown of some of the playoffs, but let's talk about some of the college-level side of things, and we'll get into it. Let's really dive deep into this Fresno State game. I got a chance to go to the press conference. I believe the one last press conference we have left before we sign it off for the year here that the Bulldogs will have maybe a new head coach by the time we talk to them. And or, you know, rehire with Coach Skipper. Who knows? We'll see. But for now, they got another game to talk about and get ready for. That's that UCLA game on Saturday. I know I'm heading down. I'm excited to go down there and be in the Rose Bowl for the first time. And I'm sure a lot of these players are too. Let's talk about it coming up next. We're listening you're listening to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench. Not Friday Night Lights, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. All right, we are here live at me and Ed's Victory Grill for Major Wager. Be sure to come on down, hang out, have some fun. We are going to have a lot of fun with this football game tonight, the Ravens and the Chargers. I'm excited. I'm excited for this one tonight, and there's a lot on the line for this matchup. Playoff-wise, And, of course, brotherly bragging rights. I know this all too well. I like brotherly rivalries. I got my younger brother. So I know that with that experience. And I think him and I, we're the same age difference as the Harbaugh brothers, the 2 years age difference. So I know exactly that kind of rivalry. It gets fiercer when it gets closer to age. Jorge, do you got any siblings, brothers, or you know, any siblings in your family? Or
yeah, I got three brothers and three sisters.
So you know that rivalry all too well.
As the last one in the family, yes, I do. I do play well.
Oh, you're the scrapper, right? That's if you're the youngest, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the youngest.
The youngest. So you're the scrapper. You're making a roll. All right. Well, there you go. Then we all, Jorge and I, got the experience, and we're gonna experience tonight on 14:30 here. Of course, if you can't make it to me and Ed's major wager tonight, you can listen to it on 14:30 tonight, 5 o'clock. So it should be a lot of fun there. All right. So let's talk about last Saturday. Let's talk about Saturday. Fresno State senior night, Bulldogs getting an opportunity to upset or throw things off here in the Mountain West with a game against the Colorado State Rams. And I thought it was a really interesting game for a while, and then the second half kind of showed up and things kind of, it became a tennis match a little bit between the two teams, bouncing back and forth with everything going on there. First of all, congrats to Bryson Donaldson for being named our the Mountain West, I think, Mountain West Freshman of the Week. Freshman of the Week. He was fantastic. Bryson Donaldson is going to be a stud for a long time for this Bulldog team. Just a freshman. Obviously, he was at CVC last year. He finished the game 140 yards and a touchdown, and he did that on just 12 carries, which is something wild to say the least when it came to that. First career 100-yard performance. He was a man possessed in this one. I was standing on the end zone where he scored his first touchdown. I think he spiked the ball harder than anybody had ever spiked it before. It's fantastic. First true freshman to run for the most rushing yards by – oh, no, excuse me. He ran for the most rushing yards by the Bulldogs since Jordan Mims' 200-yard performance in the L.A. Bowl. And so it's something special. Now, unfortunately, it was a little banged up in the second half. I think he – on that face mask penalty that Colorado State committed while tackling him, I think his knee and leg got twisted up. So, unfortunately, he's questionable, I think, going into this UCLA game. And Skipper at the press conference said he will be a game-time decision. So that's the good and the bad there with Bryson Donaldson. But I said this before with the run game can open up a lot on our offense when we want to. And I think you saw exactly the moment when things got a little squirrely and a little stagnant on offense is when he went out in the game, because then I felt like the run game was not there for the Bulldogs once again, and we were stuck at 28 for an entire 30 minutes in the football game. But, Jorge, did you watch it on TV? Did you get a chance to watch the game and see the highlights of Donaldson and the way he moved? I mean, that was something crazy. Especially with it just felt like a different Bulldog out there when it came to him running the rock.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of you know, the old Bulldog running back. It was like watching a different team, really, with the running game.
Yeah,
it felt different.
Most rushing yards by a true freshman since Ryan Matthews had 171. And three touchdowns on 14 carries against Nevada back in 2007. And guess who was in town? It was Ryan Matthews, right, for that Hall of Fame, Fresno Athletic Hall of Fame ceremony. So what a fun, you know, it's just fun to think about how kind of things work out that way with the freshmen and all of that stuff. It's funny how sports does that. But to me, it's He's going to be really fun to watch. Hopefully he sticks around, obviously. I think he will. He's a Central Valley kid. I think that's important to him. And I hope he's good for UCLA. If not, you got a bowl game, and let's see how he can show out in a bowl game coming up in December. So we'll see how that all goes. But I thought he was a big factor. Speaking of the bowl game, though, I pulled some sound bites here from the press conference, and right at the top, Tim Skipper getting a chance to talk about bowl eligibility and how important it was. Here's Coach Skipper about being bowl eligible for the Bulldogs.
I think when I think about getting bowl eligible, I think about all the sacrifices everybody has to do in order to get to the spot, coaches and players. You know, coaches away from their families, grinding, working hard all the time. Players early mornings, waking up, working out all summer long. You got the grueling training camp, and then you go through the season. You got your ups and downs, your nicks and bruises. And to get to this point is something special. Very thankful for that. Thankful for the team, thankful for the coaches, and we're just going to keep on building from it and keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward. And so I think bowl eligibility is obviously it wasn't the main goal of this season. This season had a lot more aspirations, but I think it is important that they picked themselves off the mat and got a victory. I think I see people out there saying, well, it wasn't convincing, and they kind of faded down the end. I'm like, let's be fair. This is a team that felt a little snake bit all season with how things have kind of gone in some games, especially in that Hawaii game and especially in that Washington State game. To me, I think it was as important to get the dub. I didn't care how it was. I didn't care how ugly it could got. You know, as long as a win is a win, the Bulldogs are fine in my book for this season. I want to go beat UCLA next week, of course. That's massive, but there's so much more looking ahead. And I think bowl eligibility is an absolute paramount thing for this group because now, like I said, Jorge, they're guaranteed to work with each other and practice more and try things out and see what other guys have, especially looking towards the future. And I think the bowl game is that important to kind of look ahead and maybe a little sneak preview moving ahead of what you got. And now the Bulldogs are afforded that opportunity because they were able to take down Colorado State at home.
Yeah, it's always good to play spoiler too. I think one of the biggest things for this weekend was that the Dogs showed that they weren't that team that lost to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That they were more than that, and I think that's what it was shown that this weekend, and it felt like, you know, they had control over the game the entire time. Second half happened, much like all the other games, but this time at least we had a bigger lead that they weren't able to come back from.
Certainly. I've said it all year. You run the ball well, you get an interception or you get a turnover, you're going to win. And thankfully, the Bulldogs got a pick at the end of that game, towards the tail end of that game, or else that moniker isn't true. But, hey, guess what? It ended up being true. Thanks, Phoenix Jackson, for doing that. So I'll take it. Speaking of that defense, I thought they did everything they needed to do to get that victory. Of course, I think they would take something back on that last drive with the 17 seconds left and the big play from Colorado State. But I thought it was an important game for that defense to get its swagger back. I think it did, especially in the run game. Here's head coach Coyle asked about it, about the defensive performance, and right off the top of his presser appearance. And this is what Coach Coyle had to say about the defensive performance.
I think the most impressive thing about our performance was we limited them to less yards rushing than anybody had the entire season, including Texas in the opener. They were averaging over 5 yards a carry. They finished the game at 3.5. And I thought our guys up front did an outstanding job of defending the run game. And there was a couple of runs. I think the longest run of the day was 14 yards. And if you go back and look at all the other games, you're seeing 40 and 50-yard runs almost in every game, and 20-yard runs was kind of the norm. So we did a good job up front, played really physical. I think Coach Skipper did a great job of preparing the entire team over that two-week period. Having that little extra time, I think, helped us. And our guys knew it was going to be a challenge. And that was a very good football team, a very good rushing football team that we felt had if we could make them throw the ball, we would win the game. I think I said that last week. And we made them throw the ball 50 times. And that was a team that was averaging about 20 passes a game.
Yeah, one. I was saying it to a lot of the media members when I was standing on the sidelines. I was like, as soon as we got it to 28-7 at the half, I was like, it's over. It's over. Like, because Colorado State is a team that needs to play from ahead, and that's what they've been doing all season long. And you had to jump out in front and be successful in this group. And suddenly, you know, I was like, I felt good about what the defense was doing, what the defense was providing on the field. And I was confident. I was confident because they made him one-dimensional at some point. Yeah, okay. And honestly, one of the touchdowns that Colorado State scored in the second half was off of a really poor punt return execution coverage where I think Fresno State let him down at like the 28-yard line. So very short field for that offense. And then the other possession was on a freak, just busted play with basically no time remaining where they scored a touchdown with 17 seconds to go. So you can point to a few other things with that defense, but they also got another stop on fourth down in the red zone. I think the defense gave a really A-minus performance on Saturday. All in all, I feel like other than that first drive, which I think Coach Coyle is still a little irritated that we were able to give up a first drive like that. Coach Skipper was also saying that in the post-game press conference on Saturday. He was like, I wish we could get that first drive back. But other than that, you know, I thought the defense was phenomenal. I thought the defense was really, really on top of it, made Colorado State one-dimensional. And I thought that was an important performance to have after a game we had 2 weeks ago against Air Force.
Yeah, it's like I've been saying, it shows who the Dawgs really are. It brings out, like, you know, the aspirations they had before and what they want to do now. But it's always good to hear the Dawgs that are, you know, on the winning side and happy, and they bring a different vibe to the whole entire team, and it's always good to see them winning.
Yeah, they're winning, and I think they tackled differently. I think they had guys back healthy. I thought everything just looked different, and the attitude was different. You're winning, you're ahead. Honestly, it could have been 35-7 at the half if Mikey can hold on the ball, though I will say he got popped really bad.
That was a helmet-to-helmet kind of thing, wasn't it? Like, I feel like
I heard it. I was right there. I was only 15, 20 feet away from that.
I saw it.
That play, I was standing. I
saw it, and I was like, that's got to be helmet. Like, that cannot be, you know. That was a foul. That was a definite foul.
Yeah, well, other than that, I thought it was, yeah. We can go into it. I mean, obviously we won. I think he was getting checked for a concussion at some point, but he seemed to be good. So, honestly, I from where I was standing, I thought he was in on the play before. Let's be honest. I wasn't sure exactly. It looked like from my angle he was. But that's a mute point because we're a 6-point winner, and we ended up actually covering, by the way. We were favorites in that game. So we'll take it. It's the last chance for this group, right, to make a statement on what the season will look like. And, yeah, bowl eligibility is a goal. So what do you play for now, right, against this UCLA squad on Saturday at 12:30 in the Rose Bowl? You know what this win will guarantee you? It'll guarantee you a winning season. And you know what a winning season feels like? A successful season no matter what. Because – a winning football team is what a lot of teams are chasing it all around college football right now. You know who doesn't have a winning program? UCLA. You know who doesn't have a – there's all kinds of programs out there, proud programs, that would love to be a winning program right now. And it's hard to be have more wins than losses. And at least a win on Saturday can guarantee you that. So that's what you got to play for. Also, how nice would it be to have 5 wins in a row against UCLA? I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it. So, got to keep that streak rolling. I feel good about it. One last soundbite I wanted to play here from the presser. And I just kind of felt like I wanted to be in the mood of the holiday spirit here a little bit. And so when we were closing out the press conference, I just wanted to ask Coach McCann, just in general, like, what are you most thankful for about being with this program, being with this team? And here's what he had to say at the presser after that question.
I think that, and I mentioned it last week with just talking about the seniors, but just the overall resilience of the team and just kind of embracing stuff as an opportunity. You know, it's a blessing to be here at Fresno State, you know, and being, you know, there's a guy that when you go to the we go to the March to Victory before the game, and every single game, every home game, he's there. He's got something to say, and it's you know, at the end of the day, I appreciate that. I respect it. I told him that the other day. I said, hey, man, I respect the fact that regardless, you know, rain or shine, every game, regardless, you are out here, and you're right here at the end of the March to Victory, you know, being super positive with our guys, and he's got something to say to me every time, but I appreciate it, you know. And so I just think that, you know, just kind of the privilege of being here and, you know, kind of what this program represents. But then, like, this team really represents that, too. I mean, you know, there is no quit. You know, we've embraced the opportunities that we've had, you know, and it hasn't gone our way every time. But just the way our guys just kind of bounce back and come back to work. And, you know, I think that's just a testament to the players and who they are and what they're about.
I think important point in there is the privilege to be a part of this program. And I'm going to tell you what one thing that is going to be in the tick of the favor of these guys if they want to stick around, obviously. And I think it's important to have that conversation, obviously, as we get closer and closer to a monumental decision made by our athletic department and our college here about the head coaching and what the coaching staff will look like. I thought a really good point made on Twitter. I think Cam Worrell made it. You got to have guys who want to be here because we know what the facilities are right now and it's needed as far as upgrade is concerned and what our resources are as far as Fresno State is concerned. You got to have guys who want and feel like it's a privilege to coach here because of the groundwork set by the Sweeneys and the Pat Hills and the Jeff Tedfords in that sense as far as what caliber this program can be, because it's very blue collar, it's grit and grind, let's go. But I do appreciate the fact that we have guys that understand that it feels like a privilege to coach here, as opposed to guys looking for another stop, guys looking for another place to go, another place to advance their careers. Because I think that's an important distinction to. If you love where you work a lot better, in my opinion. And I've seen it everywhere that you can have as far as in the professional industry. I've experienced myself. If you love where you work, you enjoy what you do, you're going to perform a lot better when it comes to that. So take that note. I'm not saying I'm not saying it's a determining factor, but I think it's one big one when it comes to this coaching staff moving forward. Of course, they got a game to prep for, and we'll preview it later this week when it comes to the matchup against UCLA and the Bruins. All right, we're overdue for a break, so let's take one. You're listening to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench. I got to stop doing that. Why is Friday Night Lights in my head? We got me and Ed's Victory Grill Major Wager pregame show here. Hour number one wrapping up as we get closer and closer to Monday Night Football here, Ravens and Chargers. Also on the other side, Jorge, on the 790 side, I don't have the schedule in front of me for Monday. It's Sharks tonight, right? Sharks hockey?
Yes, we have Sharks tonight.
Sharks hockey tonight, so should be a fun one there. I think they got the Kings. It's 7:30 puck drop, I believe. So,
that's right. Yes.
By the way, one of the other things I got to do thankfully, I got a chance to watch the Joe Thornton retirement jersey ceremony on Saturday before I went to the Fresno State game. I checked that out on TV. I love Joe Thornton because I think he kind of does what I do when I get emotional. If I start crying, I just start chuckling. I just try to, like, laugh it away. He told some good stories, of course. And the Joe Pavelski story, though, when he's, like, getting knocked on his head and he's, like, bleeding out of his head and in the Vegas game in 2019 and telling him that when he was in the trainer room and he's getting his head stapled because – all that that hit is happened in the game. He's hearing the horn go off in the Sharks game, and one, two, three, and then the third one, he started getting emotional because Joe Thornton was saying right before he went off the ice, says, "Hey, we got you, bud. We got you, Pavs." And just one of those lovely hockey stories, to say the least. But I thought it was a really phenomenal ceremony. So congrats to Joe Thornton. Great job by Dan Rusinowski, Randy Hahn for emceeing it as well. And I had some friends who were there that night, and they brought back a little cool memorabilia puck that had all the Joe Thornton memories on it from over the years in the Sharks. So really appreciative of some of my friends who brought that back. So that's in my office right now. Fun little collector's item. All right, let's shift gears just a little bit. I had to acknowledge this over the weekend too, because one of the big things we happened over the weekend, how about Fresno State basketball? Or are you aware of what happened on Saturday before the football game with this basketball team? are you? I think you're aware that we won, but do you know the context of it against Long Beach State?
No, I knew that we won, but I'm not really sure what happened now.
So we trailed by as much as 17 points. We were pretty much down double digits for most of the game. Down 17 with 7 to go. We were down 11 with 2:31 to go. When we were down 11 with 2:31 to go, Fresno State, with just 9 available players and missing 3 starters, went on a 14-0 run and won the game 72-69 at Long Beach. I mean, first of all, 14-0 run is unheard of, in my opinion, when it comes to closing out a basketball game. And that has to be one of the more ridiculous wins I've seen. I got to look at the shot chart here with 2:30 to go. Where's the sequence here? Because we're down 11. All right. So Robinson, two-point make. We got a Price, two-point make. Aguiar gets a fast break layup after a steal. It's 1:17 to go there in the game. How about a foul on a three? Wow, they fouled us 3 times, or 2 times on a 3-pointer. Unbelievable. And, yeah, there you go. More free throws made, including Douglas Jr. who made the dagger there with about 2.5 to go. Jorge, there's something going on with this basketball team. I don't know what it is. They don't got a lot of guys, but they got a lot of guys who are fighting. And I think that's something important to see in there. I think they're compelling you to get to a game. I think they're compelling fans to get out to a game because how about this basketball team, man, coming down 14-0 run, close out and win. That's something different. That's something different. We haven't seen in quite a while with this basketball program. So feel really good being 3-2. How about that? Above 500, too. 3-2 on the year, getting this win over Long Beach. Jorge, I think they're making a point for you to come out.
Yeah, I feel like I need to go. I need to go definitely to a game. I saw this the score, but I didn't realize how tight it was. Like I didn't realize how much of a comeback we had. I knew it was gonna be a tough game because we talked about it a little bit on before the Friday before, but we thought you know it was gonna be a difficult game for the Bulldogs to win, but that's a nice score, I guess.
Amar Aguirre 25, Mikael Robinson 16, David Douglas off the bench. That's a name I haven't really been seeing pop up on the scoreboard, but 10 points from him off the bench. More sec at 6 with 10 rebounds, so he was in on there. But Aguirre was big. How about Brian Amanike with a plus-minus plus 11 when he was on the court. So good defensive pressure from him. that's how you do it. Right. And, I think they're going to keep things interesting in every game they're going to be in. I think there's an aspect there where you got a lot of different guys contributing. So to me, I feel like it's hard to prepare against us. And also I feel like it's hard to blow us out because we have a lot of guys who can contribute and there's all different kind of factors. When there's one guy, he's got to be super special if he's one guy on the floor, right? To make it an effective basketball team. But when there's multiple different guys, I feel like it's very hard to blow our team out. And so, to me, I feel like Fresno State's going to be competitive in a lot of these games this year, regardless of if it's going to be a win-loss. To me, I feel like competitiveness is going to be the aspect of what is going to make us successful. That's all you can ask for right now this season, right? And then you go look for the wins next season. But, hey, I like to be ahead of schedule. Why not? And this team's doing it, right, Jorge?
Yes, and if we get more of these wins, I mean, not even just, let's say you battle it out and you end up losing by two, but they play like they played this weekend. I mean, what else can you ask for? They gave it their all, and, you know, a win, it's awesome to have. But to have a team that plays like this, it's really good. Because, I mean, eventually wins will come like that. Like, just like this weekend happened. So, I love it. I'm all into it.
Let's keep it rolling. All right. And they're playing this Tuesday. So, should be fun to watch them play against Washington State. All right. Hour number one's a wrap. We got hour number two here at me and Ed's Victory Grill. Stay with us. Behind the Bench returns right here. Hour number two on 1430 ESPN.
Those last few hours at work can drag on.
Hurry up.
Lucky for you, those afternoon blues are over. Phil Bonatti is taking you home. Time flies when we are having fun. So it's time to get behind the bench.
That's right. Behind the Bench brought to you by Helena Agri here at me and Ed's Victory Grill for Major Wager Monday night. Once again, here we go. Another Monday night football game, and it's a good one. Ravens and Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl, getting going here in just about an hour, a little over an hour here. You can listen to it on 1430, or you could come on down here and watch it with us and have fun betting on the game here with our ESPN Bucks. And getting set, we're getting out the play cards right now. So come on down. We only got a certain amount. So you want to get in the game and watch this one. Should be a lot of fun. And we'll provide some good prizes for you tonight as well. Of course, the auction and everything like that. Always a great time here at me and Ed's Victory Grill on a Major Wager Monday. Tonight also on 790, we got the Sharks and the Kings. The Los Angeles Kings come to town. So we'll have them on 790. That's a 7:30 puck drop. So if you want to listen to the Sharks tonight, that's also available for you as well. Here's a rundown of the schedule because obviously it's a Thanksgiving holiday schedule, so we're going to be a little bit different set up here on 1430 side of things. So, and I just got the fresh schedule in front of me, so why don't I give it out here as well? We'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D. By the way, thanks to Tony D. I forgot to mention today, thanks to Tony D, as always, when he tossed it to our show earlier today. So, big thanks to Tony D for his Sportsline Bulldog Hour from 2 to 3, as always. He'll be back tomorrow. I'll have my show tomorrow as well, starting at 3 o'clock. And then we'll have the Lakers and Jazz from 7:15 pregame with a 7:30 tip. That's from Los Angeles. Over on 790 tomorrow, we'll have FPU men's basketball. They got is it Dominguez Hills, right? That's who they got tomorrow against them. That's at 4 p.m. on 790. Eric Bentley on the call there. Wednesday as well, we'll be back. Normal schedule. Sportsline Bulldog over Tony D. Then it'll be me 3 to 5 on Wednesday, 3 to 5, because the Lakers are going to be playing the Spurs in San Antonio. Lakers will preempt us at 5 o'clock. Their pregame starts at 5:15. They'll have tip-off at 5:30. So my show will be then done there. Sharks and Senators on 790. It'll be a puck drop at 7:30 p.m. Now, here's your Thursday and Friday Thanksgiving schedule. Of course, if you want to listen to some football on Thanksgiving, we're the location for you because we got all three games from the Thanksgiving triple header. The Bears and the Lions start things off 9 a.m. There. from Detroit. And then we'll have the Cowboys and the Giants following that at 1:15. And then at 5 p.m., this game got really good really fast because the Dolphins are playing better football as of late. They got the Dolphins and the Packers Thanksgiving night and evening. That's a 5 p.m. kickoff from Green Bay. So should be an interesting one there. Then Friday, hey, Black Friday football between the Raiders and the Chiefs. That'll be the Raiders in Kansas City. Last team to beat Kansas City in Kansas City was the Las Vegas Raiders last year. It's an 11:30 pregame with a noon kickoff there from Kansas City. It's on 14:30, and also on 14:30 we'll have the Friday Night Lights. Kermit and Madeira, 6:45 pregame with a 7 p.m. kickoff from Madeira. I'll be calling that game alongside Paul Menders. We'll have a doubleheader over on 790. Sharks are going to be in the afternoon, then Lakers, and there's your schedule moving forward. Jorge, did I get that right? Did I get any of that right?
Yeah,
that's
pretty
much
right.
Were you listening? Yeah. It's pretty much right.
We'll have the FPU's sports, the summer sports show on Wednesday. Yeah.
We will?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Yeah, we will, and then it'll go into Sharks. There we go. So that was the only thing missing there. All right, yeah, FPU Sunbird Sports Show. Apologies to Paul Matters. Of course, he does a great job with that show. That's from 6 to 7, and then Sharks will be following them on 790 at 30 minutes after that show. So, yeah, there we go. Okay, got to make a note of that. Let me get my pen out and write that down. Perfect. Cool. Well, of course we do on a Monday here. We got to talk about who's been naughty and who's been nice. And I wrote it down somewhere. I got a list of three. I got three naughty people. I got three benice teams or people, whoever. I got it doesn't have to be very specific to the teams, but I got to talk about it here and there. So, Jorge, as we do, why don't we start with who's where do you want to start? Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? We're getting close to Thanksgiving season. Then this segment really will pop off in December, of course.
Yeah, let's go with who's been nice. We're going to change it up.
Who's been nice? Okay, we're feeling better. We're feeling in the holiday spirit here. So who's been nice? I go to the script writers. And whose script writers are you talking about? I'm talking about the script writers at the end of Red Zone in the Witching Hour this week. Because, my goodness, that was drama. You were watching it on Sunday. How about four games going into a crazy finish there at the end? Of course, I was over at my folks, and we were kind of watching on the Sunday Ticket side of things. Panthers and Chiefs was going crazy towards the end. But then I was like, getting texts about Washington and Dallas. And so I flipped over to the Red Zone side of things and saw that happen. Of course, then their extra point was going crazy. But then also Tennessee was doing some things in Houston, and they were beating Houston after like an 80-yard touchdown grab by their tight end. But then Minnesota-Chicago was getting wild because Chicago recovered an onside kick, and they forced overtime only for Minnesota to then go win in overtime on a field goal. Kansas City winning on a field goal against Carolina. I thought it was a really – for what was a dud week, in my opinion, about matchups and everything like that with the NFL, I felt like the Red Zone got – fantastic with the Witching Hour there. So if you're a big consumer of that, I felt like that was a lot of fun for an NFL Sunday. Those poor Washington fans, man, that was a kick in the nuts if I ever saw it with the Cowboys beating them. That might be the one, the most disappointing loss to me, but I'll get to that in a little bit. But how about that finish?
I didn't believe that the Cowboys were actually going to win. I thought they were going to, you know, go out there and do what the Cowboys do and lose. I don't understand what happened. Like, a minute and something. Well, there were, like, probably, like, 3 minutes left in the game, and all of a sudden they score, like, 20 points or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy with the kickoff return. Two kickoff returns for the Cowboys. I'm assuming if you had the Cowboys defense, I guess you got a lot of fantasy points because there were two return touchdowns from the Cowboys. Pretty crazy.
There was the one where he spun around. I was like, how, he spun around like probably like 3-4 yards before the guy, the tackle, got there. And I was like, how did you not see that?
And right.
It took a while for him to get there. I'm like, what is happening?
Exactly. So the script writers get my benice list there. So I am that was some fun cinema. All right, well, you want to go to who's been naughty? Let's do it. Who's been Adi? The Cardinals. How about the Arizona Cardinals? Because there were my whole – if you're gonna get a glimmer of hope if you're the Niners, I guess at least the Cardinals lost. So you can take that into perspective, because now the division gets a little tighter, but then Seattle now takes the lead in that division. So everybody's kind of still bunched up within a game of each other. So if you're going to we'll get into the Niners' perspective in a little bit. But I think the Cardinals were the biggest disappointment of the weekend. Only 6 points against Seattle. That defense, which I thought was very susceptible. Kyler Murray, with one of the worst pick sixes I've ever seen in my life, with him kind of floating a ball over a tight end on a fourth down play where it looked like it was kind of an option draw by him, little bootleg. And then he just totally throws it like the tight end's 10 feet tall when he's not. And then Seattle's able to return it for a touchdown. So I felt very cheated by the Cardinals this weekend, because I thought they could have played a whole lot better.
Yeah, I didn't care for that game at all. I wanted both to lose. I don't think that, I don't know, it felt like the Cardinals could have had the whole game easily, and all of a sudden they're like struggling to even be in the game. So I guess actually, you know, them losing it was kind of good for the Niners. I don't know. It just feels like nobody wants to win the NFC West, really.
No, exactly. It could change in a couple weeks, but like I said, I'll dive into it more with the Niners' perspective, so I won't get into it. But the Cardinals, man, that was disappointing. Let's go to who's been nice. This has been my fun team of the week, of the year in the college football side of things. I got to shout out my Kyle Bears, because they pulled out a comeback on the Stanford Cardinal, got the bowl eligibility. And I don't know if you heard Mendoza, Jake Mendoza, I think was the name of the quarterback for Cal. Let me look it up real quick. Fernando Mendoza. There we go. Fernando Mendoza was the name of the guy. And he ended up leading a touchdown drive with 98 yards down the field. And then his post-game press conference, he was very emotional and said, nothing better. Nothing better than 98 yards with the boys to go win a football game. And now that's been Cal's like calling card all days. 98 all weekend has been 98 yards with the boys. Nothing better on Cal Twitter. So I just love the energy. Cal needed it, because they had SMU next week, and I don't think they would have had any chance getting a victory over SMU. But come on, Calgarithm this year, they had to get bowl eligible, and now we get bowl eligible Cal. The only thing I need now is for them to get into the Pop-Tart Bowl. I think that's the most unhinged thing we need. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get them in the Pop-Tart Bowl. I think that's the perfect bowl game for Cal to be in. Calgarithm would take over the Pop-Tart situation. I need money. I would pay a lot of money to see that happen.
Yeah, I think, he's a kid from Florida, right? The quarterback? I think he's from Florida.
Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah,
he's from he's from Miami.
Yeah, and he was the one that
Cuban American. Yeah,
they got pretty beat up during the Miami game.
Yeah,
and I saw there that he had some pretty good chops, so he could throw the ball, and he did some pretty good.
He's got a decent. Yeah, he's pretty decent. He's only a sophomore, 6'5". Yeah, 3,000 yards passing.
And this team, been struggling for years now, but now. This year they become bowl eligible, and they got some good wins, and they're a good team. And
I think they're America's team.
I think they're America's team when
it comes to college football right
now.
Calgarithm has taken over.
Calgarithm.
Yeah.
It's good to have good football up north.
I'm a Calcoholic. That's what I'll say. I'm a Calcoholic. I just can't get enough Cal content.
What is it? 98 yards with the boys.
98 yards with the boys. That's what it is. That's the saying. Nothing better than 98 yards with the boys. Anyways, let's go to my naughty list again. Who's been naughty? My New England Patriots. I was ready to really look forward to this football game. I was ready for a victory. I was ready for everything, and I turned it on. It was 21-0 before I could blink, and I was like, all right, yep, Patriots are dead this week. No life here. And now they have lost once again to Tua Tagovailoa. They are 7-0. 0-7, excuse me, against Tua. And I'm very concerned they may never win a game against Tua, and that'll be one of the more infuriating situations to develop as far as a Patriots record against it. So let me – I know. I'm a Patriots fan complaining about football. But I just wanted that one, and I would have been okay with losing the rest of the games this year. But here we are. We can't have everything. At least the Jets and us have the same record, and I'm cool with it. And I guess I got to wait till next year to see if we can beat Tua Tagovailoa. And Joe came in smug. Of course he did. But you know what? It is what it is. Patriots, I'll take the L. But, man, it was not what I was seeing the last few weeks, and that's what was disappointing. I wanted to keep it close.
You were too high on them. You were too high. And it felt like you were almost like the old type of a New England Patriot was coming out. You know that one that won everything? The one that was winning.
Yeah, well,
that one was coming out a little bit, you know. And you just needed to be humbled.
Yeah. Well, I'm humbled. I'm feeling humbled today. One more on the nice list. Let's go to it. And people are going to kill me. Fresno State fans are going to kill me. But I had to say it. USC makes my nice list. Because guess what you did? You beat UCLA, and now you give UCLA nothing to play for next week. And I'll take that easy victory any day of the week. So congrats, USC. Who got the victory over UCLA. Jorge, I know you are a known USC fan, so I'm sure you're happy to beat UCLA in this situation. So, but also, I felt like it was a good factor for us to have UCLA down and out, not mean to play for a bowl next week. And good on USC for getting a win. That's the only time I'm ever going to say it, but USC makes my nice list.
It was a weird game, man. They were like 9-3 and then 6-9, and then all of a sudden, like, nobody could score a touchdown. There were just field goals everywhere. And I'm thinking, man, USC is going to lose this game. And I had the split screen between that one and the Fresno State game, but I had the sound of the Fresno State game, right, because I wanted to listen to it. And all of a sudden, I kept seeing this weird plays and, like, field goals, and I'm like, oh, God. So I had to stop. I had to stop watching it and then just, like, listen to the Fresno State game and watch the Fresno State game. And then later on when I came back to it, I was like, oh, they're up. Now they're really in there. Now they're really winning.
Yeah.
So it felt good.
Exactly. Finally, here's my last naughty list. And I just got to say it. I'm going to sound like an old person because I'm not totally saying discontinue the field storming in college football. But at some point, we gotta cap it to, like, major events. And I honestly, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen them do it too early, which is the most frustrating part because then the end of the game can kind of, you know, get into a bleep show in some college football games. We saw it with Arizona. I think I saw it a couple of weeks with, like, I can't remember what game I was watching, but I think it was whoever beat Georgia. I think it was Ole Miss or somebody who beat Georgia.
Ole Miss beat Georgia.
And Ole Miss fans were running on the field way too early. And I'm just sitting there like, at some point, it's got to mean something a little bit. And I think the students, I don't know if it's a student thing. I don't know if it's a culture thing. I don't know if it's a whole thing in college football. But to me, I think we are diminishing the value of storming a field because it's got to mean a whole lot more than just, you know, beating a certain ranked team or whatever. It's got to mean a whole lot more to storm the field. But I think
beating
also
a 7-4 team. It's got to be more than beating a 7-4
exactly.
team, you know?
You know what I mean? And also, like, maybe it's the culture of tearing down the goalposts right now. A lot of people want to be memed out there and want to be internet famous because they took down the goalposts wherever they were and however that went down. And they want to do the next big thing with the goalpost. I get it, but time and place, I don't know. It's getting a little crazy to me. Because these teams are storming the field, I think, a little too early. Arizona State
the situation BYU,
was crazy.
Yeah, the BYU-Arizona State game was insane.
I don't know if you saw the video of the coach saying that's BS at the refs.
I was actually watching the end of it. And, it was weird because the goalposts were automatic. Like, they come down automatically. And instead of them ripping them out, the staff in there, like, just brought them down themselves. And then they were like, hey, the game's not over. You got 1 second. So there they go back up.
They got to put them back up. Yeah. They got to clear everybody out. They were doing. By the way, Cal did the storm. They stormed the field too a little bit. I was like, okay, come on, guys. Like, you beat Stanford. You beat a 3-8 Stanford. Like, big whoop.
Unnecessary. So, unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting there like, come on, guys. Anyways. So there's my Benatti. There's my Benice of the week. And, you know, then we'll get in the holiday spirit a little bit. Maybe feel a little bit better about next month. So there you go. The final one of November here on Behind the Bench. Anyways, Jorge, let's take a break. We're continuing hour number two. We got to talk about it, Jorge. We got to talk about your Niners. And we'll hear from Coach Shanahan coming up next as well. So stay with it. Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. Just did Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice, and now we've got to talk about some teams who've been naughty on a grander scale here. All three of the teams we cover here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, family of networks that we have here on our channels, the Raiders, the Niners, the Rams. Unfortunately, not a good week for any of them. Jorge, where do you want to peel off the Band-Aid and talk about Niners real quick? You want to go to Rams? Where do you want to go? Raiders? I can have some Raider thoughts if we want to get into those.
Do we have to talk about them?
Well, you know, people listen to our station. They, you know, they want the info. They want the thoughts. They want the – they're interested. Maybe
not. Are they really?
Hey, you know – all right, we'll go to your team first. Let's rip off the Band-Aid, Jorge.
Let's do it.
What happened? I think that's my number one question. What happened with this team?
Go ahead. We have a team full of second bench players, man. It feels like every week is a different guy is on IR or on the bench.
Yeah.
That we needed to have that day, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It is getting dire with the situation when it comes to the 49ers. But what's the most disappointing part? That was the question asked to Kyle Shanahan after the game. And here's what he had to say. I got the sound clip there for Kyle.
I'll label the biggest one. You know, the first half, just the run defense was real disappointing. You know, I thought we got out of gaps a number of times. I thought we had way too many missed tackles. Just them being able to control that clock in the first half was one of the worst ones I've been a part of just for as far as a half. I thought we stepped it up there in the second half, did better, especially in the run game. Offense got an opportunity to get going. They gave us an opportunity to get back in the game. And then to have those three turnovers, that all three led to touchdowns, so 21 points. You top that with the penalties and stuff, and that's how you get embarrassed like that.
Yeah, embarrassed is the right word, right? And honestly, I was telling you this, Jorge, when we got in, I don't know if Brock Purdy could have made a difference in that game yesterday for the Niners because the defense just did not show up whatsoever. Time of possession, right? Here's where they were at, the drive charts in the first half. 2 minutes, 1 minute, 5 minutes, 6 seconds. That's... Jorge, when you hear that, that's almost like Fresno State versus Air Force levels of time of possession in that first half because the Packers were able to really dictate whatever they wanted to do in that first half. But that's what you're going to do against, you know, Brandon Allen, that quarterback, and the offense struggling to move the ball. They didn't end up getting a touchdown, of course, and taking care of that. But to be fair, there was a lot to be disappointed in. I think the defense had a big hand in that opportunity. I think Nick Bosa was a big missing part of it. But I don't think Nick Bosa being on the field would have been a difference maker either because Packers just straight up ran the ball. Just ran the ball with effectiveness. And Nick Bosa's not a guy who's going to be stopping the run mostly. He's a pass rusher. He can do what he can do as far as setting the edge of a D-line. But when it comes to, you know, defending the run, that's interior. And Josh Jacobs could do what he wanted in this game. 91 yards in the first half. That's a pretty crazy stat. He didn't end up with 106.
I think that if we did have, you know, both sides, there would have been a little bit more pressure on one side, and then they would have to, like, run away from that side. Or, you know, it just would have been a little bit different. But, I mean, it doesn't mean we would have won. But at the same time, you know, it wouldn't have had as easy time running it as they did on Sunday.
Debo Samuel, one catch, 4 yards, or for 21 yards, four targets on the game. Christian McCaffrey, 11 attempts rushing, 31 yards. You don't run the ball much because you're behind. You're throwing it 29 times with Brandon Allen. That's not going to be any sort of success. He had an interception. You know, turnovers. It's brutal on that offensive side. But I'm starting to get a little – you don't get contributions from Debo, even though the quarterback is in that situation. Maybe that's what you can blame it on. But I feel like we've been slipping in the Debo production for a while now. I don't understand why he's not back in the backfield again if they're going to try to use him more in that sense. Give relief to McCaffrey. But what I've been saying the last 3 weeks is that McCaffrey just doesn't look like Christian McCaffrey right now. And at some point, I think you got to have a difficult decision made of how much you actually play him, because you're just not getting the production and value out of him that you want.
Well, we also don't have the same lineup. There were like two linemen that were, you know, our number one lineman last year that are not there, you know, right now. They're also injured. So that's another part of it that, you know, it's a big part of it. Williams wasn't there yesterday, so
yeah,
it makes a difference. It really does.
Makes a huge difference. McCaffrey had three catches for 37 yards. I feel like he could have been a guy that had more of an effect of this in the passing game. I think short passes would have been really important to get Brandon Allen into rhythm. They just never really had that opportunity. And then when they fell behind, the Packers held on that football and bled the clock. And those last few touchdowns really, you know, nothing much going. I knew this game was going to be trouble, and it certainly reared its ugly head in that aspect. So the Niners sit here with a losing record at 5-6. I guess the only glimmer of hope you can say is that the division jumbled up again. It bunched up with the Cardinals losing to the Seahawks, and I think that's the result you need. And also the result you need is the Rams losing. So can you survive going to a Buffalo and losing that too and being 5-7 and then seeing if you can make a run with some health back? That's pie in the sky thinking if you're a Niner fan. But right now, this has been projecting exactly how I saw it with this 49ers squad. And here we are in trouble, 5-6. Are you turning the page a little bit, Jorge? Are you believing me a little bit on this this doom and gloom thought? Or are you still trying to be optimistic ahead of this Bills game?
Nah, I'm optimistic as heck, bro.
All right.
The reason is, you know, yes, we lost. We still have a probability of winning the West. Our chances have diminished from a 6-5 to 5-6. You know, it's a lot harder to make the playoffs. However, we still have a few chances. You know, we still have winnable games, and if we could win four games, I believe that we would be able to make a playoff run.
Yeah, I certainly think so. You know, with the Cardinals losing, I think Arizona could slip a few more times. Obviously, there's the opportunity for that. Here's what you got left, 49er fans. Here's what you got left: Bills, Bears, Rams, Dolphins, Lions, Cardinals. You gotta find, in my opinion, five if you want to guarantee playoffs. You can have hopeful thinking and have four there and get to 9-8 and hope something goes down in that wild card slot, because let's be honest, Washington didn't look as phenomenal as they have, and they could slip up moving forward with the Commanders. So it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility to backdoor into a wild card. Niners just got to get healthier. They just got to get healthier, and the problem is, if you miss the playoffs this year for the 49ers, I don't know what you can run back here with the – you can hope that you can run it back and maybe have what you had last year with this squad. But the problem with football is players don't get any younger, and you've signed a lot of money off to guys who are not getting any younger and are not getting any healthier. And so I don't know. There's going to be a lot to be decided if the Niners do miss this playoff opportunity, this playoff window here this year. And even then, if they get into the playoffs, do you even have any faith that they can take down a Lions team in Detroit or take down, you know, even Philly, who looked phenomenal last night? Like, do you really legitimately believe you can beat those two teams in a playoff atmosphere? I guess any given Sunday, right? But the matchups are very – if Josh Jacobs can do what he does – on Sunday, how can he expect to stop Gibbs and Montgomery for Detroit? Or how can he expect to stop Saquon in that moment? But then again, you want to get in the dance, see what happens. You never know what happens in football. So that's it with the Niners there. But you got the Bills next week, and it's Sunday night, prime time. You hope you got some guns back, especially Purdy. And you hope that you have some interior defense that can actually show up. The problem is James Cook is a really good running back, too, a very underrated running back as well, in my opinion. So we'll keep it rolling there. Any last thoughts on the Niners, Jorge, or, you know?
No, I think what you mentioned was, you know, a big probability that, well, do you want to make the playoffs with this team? Because if you do and you have the same team problems, let's say you win four games, you know, with luck, and you make the playoffs with luck, and next thing you know, you're facing a Lions team that they're gonna crush you. And you still don't have your full team, so why would you want to make the playoffs? You know, it's something to think about, and maybe, you know, just go ahead and
maybe you pack it up after the Bills game. And if you lose that Bills game, maybe you pack it up and say, hey, let's not try to push it here.
Yeah.
I understand in contention, but I just – there's so much just feeling wrong about this Niners team when it comes to the health of it. I just feel like you don't want to push any things any further. And I think maybe you can find some value in being a higher draft pick in a sense down there. And maybe you can find some value and say, hey, you know what? We got to get a little younger. We got to shed some of what we have as far as the extra, you know, weight off this roster per se, when it comes to that. So maybe there is a thought to thinking that this Niners team could tank it a little bit if you lose this Bills game, and you don't, like, you got to look competitive against this Buffalo Bills team next Sunday. You can't just go out 38-10 like you did against the Packers. If you get blown the doors out like again, then I don't think there's any legitimate belief that you feel like this Niners team can turn a table. If you make it competitive against this Bills team, maybe that changes my tenor just a little bit. But to me, I don't see how they can be competitive against this Bills team if they did what they did yesterday against Green Bay.
Yeah, and if you're not competitive, you know, at the level that you want to be in, especially in the playoffs, you know, just give it a rest, let those guys rest, and start preparing for next year. That's all you really could do.
Still plenty of weeks to go, 6 weeks to go. By the way, the Niners play on Monday night, the last game of the year for Major Wager Monday night against the Lions. So who knows what could be on the line there from an NFC Championship rematch standpoint. Lions, by the way, they look phenomenal. Look phenomenal. Unbeatable, in my opinion. I don't know how the Bucks beat them. It's the only team that's beaten the Lions. I don't know how they did it. All right, let's go to the Rams game real quick. I think the diagnosis for the Rams is they just got outworked. They just got outworked on the front, especially in the run defense, and it reared its ugly head. I thought they turned a corner a little bit when it came to that, but sometimes you just have a phenomenal night if you're Saquon Barkley, and that's exactly what happened. And I don't know if there's anything you can kind of take from it other than, okay, yeah, we got our butt whooped by a running back who might be an MVP candidate this year. Not might be, is. And you take it for what it is. I think the Rams offense struggled in some parts and couldn't convert in some certain situations. And they just got behind too quickly and just couldn't keep up and couldn't find ways to get back into the football game. I think Kyren Williams has been a little bit down the last few weeks. I think he's been a little bit disappointing with some of the fumbles. I think he's fumbled it four times now. He's lost a couple times over the last few weeks. So that's a little concerning if you're a Rams team with the hope to keep it a little more balanced than you have. You know, Puka and Cooper Kupp got theirs last night. You just problem is I think the Rams team, when they get to that red zone area, is just such a problem, and it bogs down for them, and they can't seem to figure it out down there in the area. So, unfortunately, Josh Cardi, a big miss as well. And Rams, unfortunately, they're sitting in that tenuous 5-6 position as well, and they're kind of in the same boat as the Niners. Fortunately for them, they have a little bit of a better record in the division, and I would say they potentially could have a little bit of an easier schedule down the road. I'm trying to see if I can load up their schedule here moving forward. Just checking what we have here as far as the Rams are concerned. Yeah, they got the Saints moving forward as well, so next week. So that's what they got, at least in the near future. So I think the Saints are a good bounce-back team. So we'll see how that goes there. But I assess it as you just got beat by a really good player last night, and I think there's nothing more to that. And JB talked about it last week. You can afford to lose this game. You don't want to lose it, but you don't have to feel like it's a must-win. But now we move into a territory where you got to keep it rolling here.
Yeah, the Rams, you know, they felt like they could have done better in this game, but at the same time, the way they were defeated, it just it also seemed like they had no answers to what Philadelphia was giving them. It just it kind of felt hopeless at a time.
Mm-hmm. Felt hopeless, and so. That's what you're going to have when you face Saquon Barkley. So the Rams got to bounce back, and I think they can. I think they're capable, but it's been a little bit of a sketchy couple weeks for the Rams. Losing to Miami, not looking totally great against New England, and now losing to Philadelphia. They're looking to come back here and bounce back in a big way when they go take on the New Orleans Saints. Here's my minute on the Raiders. Obviously, Gardner Minshew, it doesn't look like he could come back this season. I don't know, injury wise it didn't look great. Looked like a collarbone to me. You're looking for a new quarterback in a in a situation moving forward here in a short week. More and more it feels like Antonio Pierce is out as coach. I'm not making a projection, I just totally believe he's just not the right guy for this situation. But the problem is the Raiders are, I think they're still paying Gruden or still paying McDaniel, so it's like, how many more coaches can you pay for when they're not on your salary? But they continue to bungle situations, and it just feels terrible that this is their quarterback plan moving forward. And it was hard to watch yesterday against the Broncos. And even though they made it competitive, I just never felt like there was a situation where they could get back in that game.
They tried, the Raiders tried, but at the same time, it's just like they don't have a quarterback that's capable of beating teams, and that's the sad part about it.
They're not gonna. It's not a difference maker at that position, and you need difference makers in that situation. At least freaking Sam Darnold can go and win you a game in overtime and get you to. That's the guy they need. Like, am I sitting here thinking, I'm like, is Daniel Jones an answer next year? Like, where do you go? Like, where do you go if you're Raiders right now? Like, is Shador Sanders the guy? Like, but I don't feel like he doesn't even look built ready for the NFL yet. He looks skinny as can be when they lost to Kansas on Saturday. So, I've never been totally sold on Shador Sanders. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But
maybe a Kirk Cousins.
Kirk? He's still with that Falcon team. I think he's got a few more years on that contract. We'll see. Are you the sky could be falling for that Atlanta team if they start losing more and more.
That's what I'm taught.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot of, what the Raiders need in at QB. There's not a lot of out there.
Not a lot of options. So, not a lot of options. Maybe Darnold is the option, because I think Darnold, because they're going to go to McCarthy at some point with Minnesota, right?
Minnesota's going to move on.
So maybe Darnold is a guy. I don't know. I'm curious. I'm curious to see what it'll look like in Vegas, but right now it looks ugly. That's all I'll say. So sorry, Raider fans. It's not looking great. Anyways, you know what is looking great? The smiling faces that are coming here at me and Ed's Victory Grill for Major Wager as we get set for Chargers and Ravens. We're getting closer, and we'll preview the matchup coming up here right after the break. We'll close the show. You're listening to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live here from me and Ed's Victory Grill as we get closer and closer to the start of this one. Happy early Thanksgiving to y'all here in the week of Thanksgiving as we get closer to the holiday. Hope everyone's feeling in the festive spirit as we get closer to a wonderful football game tonight. Looking forward to it. Between the Ravens and the Chargers, before we dive into what's coming up tonight, we will go into the schedule here real quick one more time before I go and sign off. We got the Sportsline Bulldog Hour tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 3. I'll be back from 3 o'clock there as well for Behind the Bench on 1430 following us. Lakers and Jazz from Los Angeles, the 7:15 pregame with a 7:30 tip from there. Yeah, also FPU Men's Basketball on 790. That'll be a 4 p.m. tip. Broadcast over there. On Wednesday, you got Sportsline Bulldog Hour once again. Tony D, I'll be from 3 to 5 behind the bench there at 14:30. And then right after that, Lakers and Spurs from San Antonio. That'll be going on as well. Should be a good one. Over on 790, you got the FPU Sunbird Sports Show starting at 6 to 7. Paul Metters hosting that as well. Then at 7:30, the Sharks and the Senators from San Jose. We'll have the puck drop there. Those will be your 790 programming reminders. And then on Thursday, Thanksgiving, a football tripleheader, Chicago Bears and Detroit Lions, 9 a.m. Should be a lot of fun. Following that, Giants and Cowboys. Your mileage may vary on whether that'll be interesting football, but if you want to take a listen, there's a spot to do it right here at 1430. That'll be at 1:15 kick there. And then the Thursday evening game, that is Miami and Green Bay. The Dolphins, who look to stay hot, got the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. Fascinating game. We'll see where it ranks on the Benatti Blitz tomorrow. I got to rank the games tomorrow, so I'll look forward to that and see how that'll go as far as that's concerned. And then Friday, we got more NFL Friday. Raiders and Chiefs, that's a pregame of 11:30 in the morning with a noon kickoff. Jorge, is that any special broadcast, or is that going to be the Raiders-specific broadcast? Do you know the scenario there with
the Black Friday? The Black Friday one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Raiders game.
That'll be Jason Horowitz and company? Cool.
Raiders-specific broadcast, yeah.
Perfect. All right, so Horowitz will be on the call there for the Raiders with the Chiefs. I think Lincoln Kennedy's on there as well. And then Friday Night Lights, you'll have myself and Paul Metters from Madera High. We will be getting the Central Section Championship for Division III. It'll be Madera and Kerman, 6:45 pregame with a 7 o'clock kick. That should be a lot of fun. On 790, you'll have a Sharks-Lakers doubleheader. Sharks at 12:30 against the Kraken. And then the Lakers and the Thunder at 6:45 pregame with a 7 p.m. tip. And then That's Black Friday there. Saturday, you got Central Valley Sports Report. Maybe some college football in that afternoon as well. A lot going on. Sunday, we'll have the Rams back on Sunday, 12:05 pregame with a 1:05 kick between them and the Saints. I'll check that time. I want to make sure I get that right. Niners-Bills is going to be Sunday night football. That'll be at 5 p.m. On 14:30 as well. So the Niners will be in action there. So there you go. That is your week ahead. Moving forward, let's look ahead to 8 minutes from now as the Ravens and Chargers get set to go. Who's suiting up? Brought to you by the Fresno Suit Outlet, home of the three-suit deal for $3.99, best deal in town. Trust me, I've used it. I've had that suit deal and was really coming in clutch for a lot of weddings that I had to go attend. So wedding season still coming around. Some people have some December weddings. That fall foliage is out there in full bloom in the California environment. So maybe some weddings that you still got to attend to. Or if you're just looking to, you know, get dabbed up for holiday season and look nice this holiday season, there you go. Fresno Suit Outlet's got the hookup. So be sure to check them out. You know who's suiting up tonight, Jorge? A certain guy who's been fantastic on my fantasy team. Derrick Henry, King Henry tonight. I foresee a really big game from him. I think the Chargers have been very interesting. But I think the Ravens, man, the way they attack on offense, I think is a very interesting one when it comes to what they have options-wise offensively. Chargers defense has been good. But as we know, I think this Charger team has not faced maybe the most, challenging of opponents when it comes to playing this season. I want to believe in this Charger team. I thought they played an interesting, fascinating game against the Bengals last Sunday night. They're back in primetime again. Can Jim Harbaugh beat John Harbaugh? He has not done it yet. John's 0-2-0 against his younger brother. As we know, it was a Thanksgiving night. Back in 2011 or 2012, I can't remember when it was. Then, of course, we had the Super Bowl in 2013 between the Niners and the Ravens. Now it's Jim back in the NFL. Jorge, what are you feeling in this game? What's your vibe, sir? Who are you leaning towards? Are you leaning towards Jim because he's your former coach, or are you more of a John fan when it comes to the Ravens?
See, the Ravens, I don't know what to expect from the Ravens because I would expect, you know, really good plays and, you know, really good football. But then again, they go out there and lose. What am I expecting from them?
They do some dumb stuff.
Right?
They do some dumb things. You know, like.
I don't know. I feel like the one that's more consistent is the Chargers, at least in the last few games, and they've been on the up. So I want to see. This is going to be a good game. This is going to be a good game, and I want to see the Chargers see if they could finally get that win for their coach.
Ravens losses this year to the Chiefs, to the Raiders, to the Browns, to the Steelers.
The Raiders and the Browns. The Raiders.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll investigate it every week until we figure it out how the Raiders beat them. Anyways, I got Ravens tonight. Who do you got?
I'm going Chargers.
Chargers. You got Chargers. All right. Well, there you go. That's coming up here right now on 1430. Major Wager, come on down. Hang out. Behind the Bench is over. We'll be back tomorrow starting at 3. Be sure to tune in then.